sit in a comfortable position. May not be the ideal position. You may be in front of your laptop or your desktop, but still try to adjust yourself so that you feel as much as possible feeling at home, feeling at ease. Your body has to be quite comfortable and can't be any stress. There is no any tension. So basically, you are trying to be mindful in the present moment. So just relax and take a breath, maybe a deep breath, and come back to yourself. You can recognize right now we are calmly sitting down. We are not standing, we are not lying down, we are not walking, but we are in a very comfortable sitting posture. At the moment, our eyes are closed, but they are not tight. It's very much like while sleeping, our eyes are very gently closed. Similarly, now also our eyes are gently closed. And there are no wrinkles in the forehead. There is no any tension, any stress, but in a very relaxed mood. Similarly, our lips are touching each other. Jaws are touching each other. But there is no any heavy grip or tightly coupled jaws, but they are very relaxed. Altogether, whole face feeling relaxed. The head is straight and relaxed. Neck straight but relaxed. There is no any tightness, stiffness when compared with the neck, but in a very relaxed position. There could be certain tightness, touching sensations because of our clothing. And if you feel any particular place is catching your attention, you can adjust those places. If you feel that the whole body is catching an even attention, the whole body has some even attention, that is much better. If there is any particular place drawing your attention to that place, that means you need little adjustment there. So our arms may be resting on our lap or on our desk. Our legs are bent, and maybe we are on a cushion or we may be on a chair. So we can feel some thrust, some pressure at the buttocks. And maybe some relaxed lightness on our calf muscles. Maybe our soles touching the ground. So these are very simple indications. Right now, we are comfortably sitting. Recognize this simple posture, what we call sitting, and it is very easy to understand. We don't need to complicate anything. We don't need to think to recognize that we are sitting. Rather, we can easily feel, we can easily sense that right now this body is sitting. So we are giving some appreciation to this feeling, to this sensing that right now this whole body is sitting, very comfortable, feeling at home, feeling at ease. So if your mind is drawing yourself towards some past memories, just let go of them. No need to attach to them. No need to give any importance to them. Just bring your attention back to the present moment. Similarly, there could be any future plans, projections, wishes, uncertainties trying to popping up. But don't give any value to them. Come back to this present moment. In a way, this present moment experience is very simple. In a way, a little boring. It's not exciting. But this is what we need to appreciate right now. Again and again, we need to come back to the present moment, leaving aside all the future plans and past memories. More and more we come back to the present, we feel at home. We feel that we are living. We are not in a dream. We are not in a sort of a mental tour. Rather, we can really feel, really sense what is going on. Our soles are touching the ground. Little pressure, maybe some tightness, some softness, maybe some coolness could be felt. Some lightness may be available at our calf muscles. Maybe our thighs, our buttocks touching the cushion or the chair. Some pressure points are available there. Some pressure, some stiffness, thrust can be felt at the buttocks. Back straight. Hands or arms are resting on the lap or on the desk. Neck straight, head straight, eyes are gently closed. Lips are touching gently. Jaws are not tightly coupled. The whole face feeling relaxed. The whole body feeling relaxed. So recognize right now, this body is sitting. So this recognizing, this recognition, understanding, coming back to the present moment is quite important. If you are able to establish your attention, your mindfulness onto your body, so you can feel certain sensations. Could be some irritations, could be little pains, touching points, breathing, rising and falling of the abdomen. All these things are happening right now. Recognize them. They all indicate that we are living in the present moment. Not daydreaming, not memorizing, but living the very present moment. More and more you can keep your attention on your body. Coming back to home. So body acts like an anchor point for your mind. Again and again, the wandering mind is brought back and rest on the body. check what you can feel more prominent. If you are able to recognize rising and falling of the abdomen, that would be a very good meditation object for future progress. Similarly, the breathing is another very good process that we can utilize to develop mindfulness. Or simply the posture, recognizing that we are sitting right now and simply configuring ourselves or simply paying attention to the whole body is another option. So today we'll restrict or we'll limit ourselves to this very simple coming back to the present moment. So more and more we need to come back to the present moment. Only thing is, it may not be extremely pleasurable, it could be quite boring, but still we need to give some appreciation to this boring experience, to this very simple experience, because this is behaving like the prerequisite for the future development. If you are able to recognize in-breath, out-breath, you can keep your attention there. Or if you feel rising and falling is more prominent, you can keep your attention at the abdomen. There is no hurry. There is no any big achievement. Rather, coming back to this very simple experience. Various thoughts might pop up, but don't get angry about them. Just come back to the body. Okay, I'll stop there. So we can continue again and again from the next session. And we can go a little deeper and deeper as we progress. But I'll stop simply at this stage for the today's session. So if I draw your attention to today's practice, so basically, coming back to the present moment is one key feature in mindfulness, because our mind is not very much interested of such practice. Rather, it likes to be in the past or in the future. So that is the typical nature of our mind. So it does not appreciate the present moment. It could be, as I said, very boring, not that pleasurable, not that exciting. So it is always going to some past memories, which either could be exciting or even could be some depressive. Still, mind catches or mind shift our attention to such experiences and again linger on them. In and again, sort of going through them, and ultimately we even get obsessed with those past memories. Similarly, in the future, we may have various plans, various wishes, and right now, since we are all are going through some pandemic, still sort of uncertainty. So again, we may have a lot of wishes about the future, a lot of hopes about the future, and again, some stressed present moment. So therefore, we may like to get rid of the present moment, to escape from the present moment. But rather in the mindfulness practice, it's not that we are trying to escape from the present moment. Rather, we are becoming somewhat brave enough to come back to the present moment, live in the present moment. So we are using various techniques to achieve this. So one technique is being mindful in the sitting posture. So that is what we try to do today. So there are four main postures, as you all know. The sitting posture, walking posture, standing posture, and lying down posture. So among these postures, for a beginner, walking posture and sitting posture are the most easiest postures. But as you progress, you can even use standing posture as well as the lying down posture. So say for example, if you are developing mindfulness in sitting posture, it's always better to have maybe half an hour, 1 hour walking session to warm up and to establish mindfulness. Because if you come immediately to your sitting posture, you might feel a little bored, or you might feel a little drowsy, lazy, and easily you might get sleepy. So you might get into sleepiness or sleeping state very easily. Because as I said, what we are trying to do in the sitting posture is very, in a way, very monotonous, in a way, very simple, which is not that attractive. So typically our mind likes to stay in some attractive object. But this, what we are trying to do is very simple, extremely simple. Therefore, when we are continuing like this, easily we fall into sleep. So most of the yogis, say if they are coming for a 10 days retreat, for first couple of days, actually most of them are sleeping in the sitting sessions. So that is very natural, because you all may be in a very tight schedules, maybe handling several things at the time, multitasking. So if you are in a busy schedule, and again when you are coming to a mindful session and establishing your attention on the present moment, so easily you might fall asleep, because it's very boring, very simple. If you think about when you are looking at a movie, or you are looking at some news, or looking at a paper, there are a lot of information, a lot of details there to attract yourself to those information. Say for example, if you are looking at a movie, kind of an action-packed movie, so it's quite easy that you are being drawn there. It's not necessary for you to effortfully look at it. Rather, the very exciting images there easily draw you to that information, or draw you to that cinema, draw you to that story. So there is no anything you need to do. Rather, you've been driven by that cinema. You've been driven by that story. You become like a victim or slave to that story. But on the other hand, when we are trying to do mindfulness practice, so rather the objects of attention are extremely simple. Objects of attention are extremely some mundane activities. So those actually we never appreciate. Our mind simply switch to something beautiful, something attractive, rather than staying on this very inattractive or very boring, very simple activities. So therefore, one thing is that before coming to a sitting session, probably you can go for a walk and warm up and pay your attention on each and every step, because that walking session is in a way a little active session. You need to keep your attention on every step. You need to maintain your balance while walking, and you have to keep your eyes open, and there may be various sights available around you. So all these things are available, and you need to still keep your attention on the touching points of your soles. So whenever left foot is touching the ground, you need to locate your attention or position your attention on the left foot. Similarly, when your right foot is touching the ground, you have to locate, you have to position your attention onto right foot. So likewise, you have to each leg by leg, you need to keep your attention. So here actually we are training the mind. Typically what happens is our mind has various pre-programmed routines. So we are being driven by those routines. But right now what we are trying to do is we are not giving much emphasis to those routines, or we are not allowing those routines to govern us or to drive us. Rather, we are purposely taking some very easy actions so that our attention can be drawn purposely to those selected actions. Something like walking. So when we are walking, our each foot is touching the ground. That is some selected activity, very simple activity. So we are purposely keeping our attention on each foot, each touching sensation. So that is in a way training the mind where we want, rather than allowing the mind to take us for a ride. Now we are trying to train the mind as we want. So slowly, slowly, this skill can be developed. So this is something that we are trying. So therefore, we have to begin as a beginner, not as a kind of experienced yogi, but as a very relaxed, very open beginner who knows nothing but right now the body is walking. So you have to forget about all what you have learned, all what you have heard, and become a very simple person, ground to earth person. And then right now, suppose the left foot is touching the ground, how I feel on the left foot. Again, now the right foot is touching the ground, how I feel on the right foot. So more and more you do like this, you might understand that at the beginning I was able to only establish attention for say 5 steps, and most of the time the mind has distracted. But slowly you will recognize that this distraction period will reduce and your attention will improve. More and more steps you can now keep your attention on where you want. So likewise, we are catching the momentum. We are developing mindfulness. So whatever the amount of mindfulness what we were able to develop during walking session can be brought to sitting session. So that is how we are continuing. So from walking to sitting, we are bringing that developed mindfulness and utilizing that, enhancing that further while in the sitting session. So sitting session also, as I did today, it's a very simple activity. So people expect a lot of miraculous things in the meditation, but more and more it is not the miracles, but these mundane activities are the ones giving more and more insights. It's not that we are expecting some extraordinary experiences through meditation or through mindfulness practice. Rather, we are trying to understand what is really going on at the moment. More and more to understand about ourselves, rather than trying to go something invisible or more something mystic or something like that. Rather, it's a very down-to-earth practice. So this is the Buddha encourages us, especially through Satipatthana. So all these techniques are very down-to-earth practices, very simplified practices. So we should not complicate them. And say, for example, if you are trying to complicate your kamatahan, if you are trying to complicate your meditation object, then you are missing the point. It is not that we are trying to program our minds, or we are trying to making ourselves fools. Rather, we are trying to understand there is a different kind of wisdom available which is beyond thinking. So typically, right now, present day, people are thinking and trying to become wise. So this is what we think. We think more and more we read, more and more we think, and more we philosophize. Accordingly, we can attain Nibbana. So the complete opposite Buddha is telling, the whole sort of nipa panch, or whole sort of eliminating various types of proliferation and coming back to this very simple attention, coming back to the simplicity, makes you or takes you more deeper and to deeper understanding, more profound understandings. So therefore, we need to first let go of our all preconceived ideas, all our prejudices, all our sort of dogmatic ideas, and simply become simple human being. Right now, the body is sitting. Right now, the body is standing. Right now, the body is lying down. Right now, the body is walking. So it's a very simple practice. So we need to come back, we need to draw our attention again and again to this simple practice. Then only, slowly, slowly, it will pave the way to the development of mindfulness. So I'll stop simple introduction right now. So beyond that, if you need any more clarification on what I did or what I said, so feel free to ask your questions.
Bhante, I'll ask one question. So this is a really good explanation on practical aspects of mindfulness, walking and sitting and other aspects. If I was to ask like a theoretical question, what is mindfulness? If I look on the internet, maybe 1,000 definitions for mindfulness. How would you describe mindfulness in your own words as a definition?
Yeah, actually, nowadays, because of the introduction of especially the scientists are now paying more attention on mindfulness, and now they are coming up with various definitions on mindfulness, especially if you browse mostly now widespread definition is that John Kabat-Zinn's mindfulness definition. So all these things are available, but on the other hand, they are limiting ourselves. So that is the one bottleneck in the Western thinking, that when we define mindfulness as this is mindfulness, so then we may be stereotyping ourselves. So we are trying to frame our thinking or frame our experience to some limited scope. But on the other hand, mindfulness, as per the Buddha's teaching, is a evolving quality. Now, if you consider how Buddha presenting mindfulness, it's not a kind of a stereotype or kind of a packet-like thing or kind of a well-marked thing. He has given provision to evolve. So at the beginning, he starts with kaya anupassana. So how one can become mindful in using the body. Then Vedanupassana, how one can be mindful according to feelings, using feelings. Similarly, Chittanupassana, how one be mindful about the mind. And Dhammanupassana, how one can be mindful on various states of or moods of the mind. So this, likewise, so the mindfulness can vary on a sort of a broader spectrum. Now, it does not stop there, rather, as one develops, one can recognize kind of a quality in the mind. So at the beginning, we don't know what is mindfulness. It's the kind of vague idea we have. But as we practically involve in meditation, as we practically involve in practice, so we recognize some inner quality. It is not that borrowed knowledge from a book. It's not a borrowed knowledge from someone. Rather, it becomes our own quality. Now we recognize in our mind, so there is something mindfulness. So this is mindfulness. So likewise, now we can clearly recognize the quality of mindfulness. So that is where, among various other mental qualities, now we recognize, okay, there is something called mindfulness, sati. Say, for example, when you are, say, as Buddhists, if you are paying respect to Buddha and you are with a lot of faith, saddha, and at that time if you reflect back to your mind, so the mind may be governed by saddha, faith. So the instead of mindfulness, faith is the most prominent factor on such occasions. Say you have seen a very beautiful Buddha's image, or you have gone through some story about the Buddha and very good qualities about the Buddha. Now a lot of faith is developing. Faith is coming out from your mind. And that is the overwhelming power of the mind. That is the most prominent quality at that time in the mind. That is the faith. So likewise, you can recognize, okay, on some occasions, the mindfulness is the governing factor. Mindfulness is the prominent factor. So there, it is not the very basic level. It is not the bare attention, or it is not the sati matra. Rather, it's a kind of a developed mindfulness. So now you can distinct between the faith and mindfulness. Similarly, you can distinct between mindfulness and the effort. Say, for example, if you are in a little drowsy situation, little lazy situation, there could be a driving power in yourself, kind of a effort coming up to wake you up, to rise up, again energizing yourself. So that we call effort or virya. So at that time, the virya or the effort is the governing factor. So likewise, there are various qualities in the mind, time to time come forward. They becomes the most prominent factor at that given time. So similarly, among these various qualities, now you are able to recognize mindfulness as another quality, another mental quality that you can separately recognize. So this is important. And then you understand, so when you started mindfulness practice as Kayanupassana, so right now you are not to that level, but kind of a developed level. You can actually be mindful about the body, sure, but it's more than that. At the beginning, our mind is scattered, only maybe 10%, 5% of your attention is on the body. All the rest of the energy or rest of the mind is scattered all around the world. But more and more the mindfulness develops, more and more the concentration develops, now you can recognize, okay, there's a quality called mindfulness, there's a quality called faith, there's a quality called concentration. So likewise, different characteristics of the mind one can recognize. So there's a flexibility in developing mindfulness like that. So therefore, mindfulness is a evolving quality. At the beginning, we are using various techniques to establish mindfulness. And using those techniques, we are developing mindfulness. And as we develop, we are passing various regions, very much like milestones. So one milestone is the Kayanupassana. Another milestone may be Vedanupassana. Another may be Chittanupassana. Another may be Dhammanupassana. And another may be the level of faculties that you can recognize these different levels, different qualities. Right now, this is the quality which is governing the whole mind. What we call that is as the faculty level or indriya level. And there's yet another level where even without mindfulness, you are not shaken, because you know there is a powerful quality called mindfulness. I can always utilize that. I can always take a refuge on that and again come back to the present moment. Again, establish myself on the mindfulness. So likewise, some sort of a confidence develop in ourselves. So that level is called the bala, the power of mindfulness. So likewise, mindfulness is not a kind of a fixed quality, rather an evolving quality. Therefore, it's quite difficult to give a fixed definition. But among all these varying qualities, the evolving quality of mindfulness, there are some key features that we can recognize. One thing is that it always emphasizes paying attention on the present moment. Actually, it does not mean that you can think mindfully. You can think about some past incident again mindfully. Again, you can plan about the future again while being mindful. So therefore, it's very difficult. I mean, even though we are still telling that the mindfulness always in the present moment, that is half true or maybe 75% true, because still when one can develop mindfulness, one can even plan something while being mindful, not get lost in the future plan, not becoming a daydreaming, Rather, one can plan while being very mindful. That is also possible. But anyway, for simplicity's sake, we can say the most of the mindfulness practice is involved in the present moment and coming back to the present moment. And it is sort of an experience. It is not something imagination. It is not some sort of a mysterious thing. Rather, it's a very verifiable experience happening right now. So more and more we are recognizing, more and more we are sensing, more and more we are feeling rather than imagining. So these are certain qualities attached to mindfulness. And more we develop, we will get into a situation where we become non-judgmental. So typically our minds are sort of judgmental. We think this is good, this is bad. Likewise, we have some pre-programmed routines, our own likes and dislikes. So rather than sort of maintaining a biased attitude based on those prejudices, one can maintain mindfulness in a kind of an even manner, where one can maintain an open mind, open attitude. So that is another aspect of mindfulness. So therefore, it's an evolving quality. So coming back to the present moment is one key feature. And as we grow on, we are using our attention to the present moment phenomena, what is happening right now. And that actually takes us into various branches of mindfulness, and it is bringing a lot of other mental qualities into action. And altogether, we are actually waking up. Altogether, we are empowering ourselves, empowering our minds, rather than becoming a victim of certain patterns or certain defilements in the mind. So therefore, it's difficult to give a black and white answer or yes or no answer or very short and sweet answer, but kind of a evolving quality, I would say.
Thank you, Bhante.
We have a question. Buddhi.
Hello, Buddhi. You can go ahead.
His mic's muted.
Now I can hear.
Sorry.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, I was just going to ask, like there's numerous definitions of mindfulness, there's also numerous types of meditation. Can you give just an overview of the various kinds and the advantages and disadvantages of each? My understanding is, so the mindfulness is a kind of insight meditation, which leads to more wisdom, I think, whereas something like concentration meditation leads to more focus. Could you elaborate on the different kinds of meditation and the advantages and disadvantages of each of those?
Yeah, like, so in a way, it's a vast subject where a lot of meditation techniques are available. So as you said, in summary, there are 40 samatha objects according to the Theravada tradition. And typically, we consider mindfulness practices mostly into the vipassana or insight meditation. Still, you can say, I mean, if you do some Buddha anusati, thinking about the Buddha's qualities, so there are also the sati is included. So when you are reflecting about a Buddha's quality, so that indicates some sort of mindfulness inbuilt there. So right now, rather than imagining, right now you are sort of reflecting about a certain quality very mindfully at this very moment. So there you are mindful right now about the Buddha's quality. So we can say Buddha anusati. Similarly about the qualities of the Dhamma. Similarly about the qualities of the Sangha. Similarly about, the qualities of, unseen beings, devas. Similarly, the loving kindness, metta. So right now, suppose you are considering one respectful person and you are sort of wishing him well, wishing her well, and you wish may he become happy, may he be free from suffering likewise. So the loving kindness is another technique. Everything actually happening right now. So this even metta meditation, you can couple with the mindfulness, and that is also possible. And similarly, there are four types of such meditation techniques in the typical Buddhist teaching coming. That is the loving kindness, metta meditation, then mudita, the equanimous joy that you are appreciating someone else's happiness, or releasing of someone else's happiness. And again, the compassion practice, when someone else is going through some difficult time, you feel some urge coming in your mind, so some kindness coming in your mind. So you can harness that quality. So you can practice it as a compassion practice, karuna meditation. Similarly, the upekkha, where you understand, okay, the most of the time the things are happening as a sort of a cause and effect relationship. So the beings are somewhat bound by this cause and effect, the karma also. And likewise, you try to take your mind to the equanimity. So this equanimous practice is another side, the upekkha meditation. Upekkha Brahma Vihara. So likewise, the Brahma Vihara practices are another category. So all these have different flavors actually. Say for example, if you practice metta meditation, it has one flavor. It is sort of giving you some qualities more into the loving kindness. You can be happy with someone. You can cope up with the difficult situation. Rather than boiled with anger, you can maintain some serenity. You can maintain a very relaxed, joyful attitude in your mind. So this becomes the benefits of metta meditation. On the other hand, suppose if you are developing mudita meditation, mudita practice, then rather than becoming a victim of jealousy, envy, one can be happy, joyful when someone else is progressing. So this is something missing today. Where when someone else is benefiting, when someone else is progressing, the instantly probably sort of a jealousy can come forward in our mind. So instead of becoming a victim of such jealousy, so if we are sort of practicing mudita meditation, then we can even happy with someone else's happiness, someone else's success. So that is another practice. So therefore, depending on different meditation technique, different benefits are there. Say for example, if you are in a little bad mood, you are not in a happy mood, probably you can practice Buddha Anusati, thinking about the qualities of the Buddha and sort of emphasizing those qualities and personifying those qualities. And you are sort of empowering yourself also with those qualities. Then your mind rises up. So you are no more depressed. Rather, the mind becomes very happy, very pleasant, sort of light. So these are the, in a way, the benefits of Buddha Anusati. So likewise, there are various meditation techniques, some of the techniques, and then the Kasina meditation is another area where you are using various signs, maybe colors, or maybe certain objects, certain plates, like earth Kasina, water Kasina, and all these things. So different techniques are there into the Samatha practice. So that is another area. And again, there are another meditation techniques like, say, asubha, where rather than we simply become victim of our lust, so we can recognize what are the real components in the mind, in the body. So it is not extremely attractive. It becomes, in a way, a little loathsome. In a way, a bit ugly. If we simply open the skin and the inside is very much ugly components, very much not that attractive components filled with. So when more and more one practice based on such technique, so the lust may diminish. So the excessive joy may reduce, and you might be able to bring your mind into a sort of an equanimous state. So bringing to the middle is one of the important things. It is not that the mind has it is not that we are trying to keep the mind extremely happy, elated state. Or neither we are trying to keep our mind in a depressive mode, in a depressed state. Rather, if it is quite healthy, to maintain the mind in a middle range, equanimous range, that is the most, I mean, I would say the least frictional path, or the comfort zone, or the most potential area for developing wisdom. So more and more, the vipassana practice is taking us more towards the equanimity. So that becomes the ground of developing wisdom. So the mindfulness, therefore, is more into the equanimity. It is not much into the elation, extreme happiness, or neither going to the depression, but rather in a very simple, equanimous kind of range that the mindfulness is developed. So likewise, there are various techniques. So as the Buddha suggested, but even the samatha practice has some good component or some heavy component with the mindfulness. Say, for example, if we consider jhana, for example, even the definition of fourth jhana very beautifully says the jhana, the concentration is empowered with sati. Sati parisuddhena satuttat jhanam upasampajya viharati. Likewise, the Buddha mentioned that the upekka sati parisuddhin satuttat jhanam upasampajya viharati. So even the fourth jhana, therefore Buddha says that is empowered with mindfulness. So this, therefore it's difficult to say that the mindfulness component is missing in samatha practice. Rather, we can say mindfulness becomes the prerequisite for samatha practice. So more and more one become mindful. So it takes us to the concentration. There you can develop concentration easily when the mind is empowered with mindfulness. And when fair amount of concentration is available, that concentration can be utilized or harnessed towards the vipassana or towards the wisdom practice. That is the other component. So therefore, mindfulness is very much kind of a common component for samatha practice as well as for vipassana practice.
Bhante, I have a very simple question. First quality I have found when I try to do mindfulness practice, internal quality that I have found is that my mind doesn't like to stay there. Sometimes it comes with a shock that I can look at, focus on my body, and then it all becomes serene and calm. And then after like 1 or 2 minutes, I find that my mind doesn't want to stay there. So that is the first quality I have found in my practice. I'm pretty sure most of the people who started new, they might have found that as well. So how do we go about from here? That, okay, we understand and we know now the technique, but we know we can't stay even 5 minutes. So the mind doesn't like to stay. That is the first quality we find most of the time. Yeah. How do we go about from here?
So that is what actually we need to understand. So we don't enjoy while being in the present moment. Say, for example, nowadays, there are a lot of video games. Now, all these video games are taking us to an imagined world. Kind of imagined world is there. Kind of an alien attack is there. So all these are very attractive. I mean, you might be able to play a video game the whole day. Exactly. But in an imagined world. So it's very joyful, very attractive. But if you simply want to be on the present moment, extremely worried. You're very worried. That is where we are missing the point. So we always either like to live in the past or live in the future. Imagine the future. So that becomes kind of the trend in the mind. So we are programmed to such kind of a vicious cycle, either in the past or in the future, constantly jumping from past to the future, past to the future, always living like that. So that is where Buddha is telling the very first verses in the Dhammapada, appamado amatapadam, pamado machunopadam. So more and more one become unmindful, more and more one become negligent. So he's very much like a dead body, dead person. Because, I mean, even though we are living 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, if we consider the whole life, how our mind stays, is it more in the past or is it more in the future or living in the very present moment? if you analyze the whole spectrum of our attention, it's very little percentage our attention being drawn in the present moment. The other thing is, even though we may be keeping our attention in the present moment, we can become a victim of that present experience. Say, for example, you are reading a book. At the beginning, you might be mindful. You may not be sort of living in a story. But slowly, slowly, the content of the book take you inside. Now you slowly lose your balance. So the mindfulness component slowly, slowly fades away. And now you slowly go into the reading. You become a sort of kind of victim of reading. Kind of content is there. Now the content become extremely interesting. It doesn't necessary to be a story or kind of imagination or the kind of proliferation. Rather, it may be even a very scientific article. It could be a electronics circuit. It could be a plumbing diagram. Whatever it is, I mean, it depends on our likes and dislikes. Say, for example, say someone is a computer engineer. So he may likes to do a programming. Say he is taking a good, very difficult design, and he may be involved in that, heavily involved in that. So he can't remember what is the time right now. He can't remember when I want to have my lunch. So the others may be waiting. He may be missing the train because he's extremely involved in the present moment, this present activity. So that is not really the mindfulness. So that is where we are sort of being carried away by the present activity. So we become overwhelmed by the present experience. But mindfulness, on the other hand, lets us into a kind of a beautiful balance. It is not that we are losing the present moment. It is not that we are losing our establishment. Yeah, we are well grounded, well earthed. And then we are doing some activity mindfully. Say, for example, you are walking. Since this walking is an extremely simple practice, so we purposely have to pay attention. Now, say, for example, as I taken the example of a computer programmer or computer engineer, whoever, designer, architect, whoever. So when someone is doing such kind of an activity, so depending on his skills, depending on his likes and dislikes, he can easily be drawn inside that object, drawn inside that activity. So then he doesn't need to purposely be mindful about it. Rather, he now a victim about that whole process. But on the other hand, the mindfulness practices are taking a very simple activities. That is where this simple activity is not taking him inside. Rather, kind of a beautiful balance is maintained. So you need to purposely pay your attention onto this simple activity. Otherwise, the mind is drift either to the past or to the future. Because when your left foot is touching the ground, so this sensation is a very simple sensation. It's not an interesting sensation. is not an attractive sensation. It's a very normal, mundane kind of an activity. So that is the key thing, actually. It is not that we are trying to, we should complicate the thing. Rather, we have to simplify the thing. More and more the experience is more simple, more mundane activity. So there we need to purposely pay our attention. That is where the attention muscle is grown, to speak in a different angle. Suppose there's a muscle or there's a attention, some area in the brain which is involved in this attention. So when you're purposely drawing your attention onto a very particular object, a selected object, very simple object, that is where you are purposely doing it. Purposely you are making that effort. So then accordingly, that area of your brain will be improved. So this mindfulness muscle will be improved. So therefore, at the beginning, this becomes very difficult because we are like daydreamers. We are like in a driven mode. Like you might have went through that movie called Matrix. So in that Matrix movie, so they are in the Matrix. So they are not out of Matrix. So we are in the Matrix. So in the mindfulness practice, help us to be awake, come out of that routine, come out of that vicious cycle. Time to time, at the beginning, it's very difficult because we are now very much like programmed. So we are very much like victimized for this cycle for a long time. So Buddha comes and invites us. Buddha comes and wakes up. Waking asks us to wake up, coming out of this picture, coming out of this cycle, and to wake up to the present moment. So therefore, So at the beginning, it is not that interesting, as Suranga quite nicely said. So the mindfulness practice at the beginning is extremely boring. That is why many people, as they start mindfulness practice, most of them are sleeping. So if you come to a retreat, so 10 days retreat, so first couple of days, you can see, I mean, especially in the sitting session, say majority are sleeping. So it's a very common thing. Because we are in a very hectic situation, we are in a very busy schedules, multitasking. So this is how we are used to. So we are in a very sort of tormenting our mind. But in the mindfulness practice, it's more into a very easy, very boring, simple, in the present moment. So all these components are not that attractive. But more and more we need to sort of have some convincing power. That is why this kind of sessions are quite useful for us to understand the importance of this kind of a practice. Then we can convince ourselves, okay, this is the importance of this. This is the value of this such practice, even though it appears boring. Even though I am not that successful at the beginning, I need to continue. So likewise, we need to advise ourselves again and again, even though it is not that attractive at the beginning, even though it is not giving enough results at the beginning, we need to continue. So this continuous practice is the key thing at the beginning. So effort, on the other hand, helping us a lot, even though it doesn't give any result, even though I can't develop mindfulness as the way I want, I am continuing the practice. Today also I am sitting, today also I am walking, tomorrow also I am sitting, tomorrow also I am walking. Day after tomorrow also I am sitting. Day after tomorrow also I am walking. So likewise, we have to maintain some sort of a schedule. And then slowly, we start to come out of that matrix. Maybe for a short time, we are in a dream again. And for a slight couple of seconds, we awake, come out of the dream. Again, we go to sleep, again to the vicious cycle. Again, after some time, again, we wake up. So likewise, the waking up moments increase. So therefore, don't think that the mindfulness practice will give you a lot of happiness within a couple of days. It might not happen. But slowly, you will understand the importance of it, the value of it, rather than being in a dream.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
I do have some more questions, but if there is anyone who wants to ask, you can raise your hand and we can check you on. But you did mention sort of like a table schedule. How long should you do walking and sitting for? Is there like a specific time as a beginner?
As much as you can. But you can try to incorporate maybe 15 minutes, maybe 15 minutes walking, 15 minutes sitting. Then you can enhance it. Maybe 20 minutes walking, 20 minutes sitting. Maybe 30 minutes walking, 30 minutes sitting. Likewise, you have to slowly enhance it, because if you consider this also as another burden, then it's very difficult, because you have to train the mind, you have to convince the mind, convince ourselves the value of it. And once you convince yourself, then we have to slowly enjoy it. How to enjoy this present moment? It's a kind of a different kind of enjoyment there. Is it, typically we enjoy ourselves by dreaming, by proliferation, by thinking, by imaginations, by thinking, going to the past, or completely being in the concepts. But on the other hand, here we are trying to come into the present moment, come into yourself, come into the body, come into the experience, come into the sensing power rather than to the thinking side. So typically we are giving more emphasis to thinking rather than sensing. So in the mindfulness practice, there's a more prominence is given to the sensing side. So we sense right now the body is breathing. You don't need to think about it. You can simply sense it. Right now the tummy is rising. You can simply sense it. You can simply feel it. You can experience it. So right now, at the very present moment. So likewise, you have to sort of give some value to it. You have to recognize how important it is, because otherwise your mind is drifted. Your mind is in a dream. Your mind is in the imagination. But only in this mindful moment, you are awake. You are awake. You are not dreaming. You are living in the present moment. You are living on the moment. You are living in this very moment. Only on this mindful moment. But most of the time, we are not in that. That is why Buddha reiterating that pamado machuno padam. More and more typically, the mundane mind, the typical mind never live. It is always in the imagination, always in the concept, always in the dream. So slowly we are training our mind to come out of that dream. So you can start with maybe 10 minutes, then 15 minutes, increase it to 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And typically you can extend it to 1 hour, 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking. That would be the sort of the ceiling or the threshold. It's more comfortable. 1 hour sitting and 1 hour walking is have a good balance.
Thank you, Bhante. I think Buddhi has another question.
Yeah, Bhante, I just wanted to ask, with regards, you just mentioned the sense impressions. So when we are observing, say, for example, the breathing in, breathing out, or even, you know, if we feel some pain while we are meditating, is it better to think of it as just pain, not pain in the leg, or just like movement, not like movement of air rather than just breathing as such? So rather than putting a name to it, if we just name it as a sensation, I think that might help in terms of understanding the, you know, I guess the, you know, not attaching yourself to it as much. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. So actually, say for example, in the at the beginning of the practice, we name what we call the Menihikarana. So that is also useful. Say for example, when your left foot is touching, so we are sort of verbalizing it as left. When right foot is touching, we are verbalizing as right, left, right. Or similarly, suppose you are doing breathing meditation. So when the inhale happens, so you maybe name it, label it as inhaling or simply in. Or when the exhaling happens, you might be name it like exhale or simply out. So this also helps at the beginning because this naming or this labeling actually helps to collect the mind. So typically the mind goes here and there to various distractions. So when the present experience is being somewhat seconded by the mental recognition, introducing a word, actually this whole process becomes somewhat improved. But later, actually you can omit this labeling. You don't need to verbalize it. Left, right, or inhale, exhale, in, out, right, in. All these names can be discarded and simply you can be with the present moment. So similarly, as Buddha mentioned, so when your attention being taken onto a pain or whatever the feeling, any sensation, you don't need to verbalize it. You don't need to mentally add any name to it, whether it is happening in the right leg, left leg, maybe on your tummy or forehead or whatever it is. You don't need to give any name of those locations. So these are concepts actually, because in meditation, we may be starting with concepts, but slowly, slowly we are moving forward to the reality. So reality doesn't have any names. You may be using various names for the sake of communication, but later, while you are fully in experiential mode, in the sensing mode, you should never bring all those conceptual names to the picture. Then you are disturbing the process. Say there's a kind of a pain going on in your right leg. And at the beginning, you might understand, okay, it is the right leg. There's a pain. There's a sensation. True. Now you are observing it very carefully. Now you are observing how this pain is changing, how it is increasing, how it becomes painful, how it is fading away. All these characteristics, you may be feeling it. So right now, you have to forget about or discard all that external information like this is on the right leg or it is the leg is bent. I am on the cushion, I am in Melbourne, and all these concepts you have to forget, you have to discard. Rather, right now, simply a sensation. So how the sensation is behaving. Then only you are fully experiencing. You are beautifully or you are wholeheartedly, you are observing that sensation. So therefore, at that time, you should never take those labels into the picture. Rather, the labels are useful at the beginning, but later you have to discard them.
Thanks.
Bhante, so you sort of mentioned there about pain. It's not easy to sort of observe pain or be with pain. Do you have any advice or tips? If you do have pains?
No, actually, I mean, there is no hard and fast rule telling that everyone have to go through the pain. So pain is another practice. I mean, using your attention on pain and going through Vedranupasana is one practice. So there are various methods available. So it depends on the person. There are some people who are very patient, who have a lot of endurance. So they can go through pain. So when there's a pain on your knee, on your body, so they can keep their attention on pain and they can utilize the pain to develop wisdom. So that is possible. Actually, pain is a very good object, very good example for developing practice, developing mindfulness, develop wisdom. Because it has the ability to maintain our attention on there. But on the other hand, for some people, it is very difficult because it's a painful experience. So you can't bear it. On such situation, the pain might not be a good experience or good meditation object to some group of people. So therefore, see how your mind reacts. So that is possible. Therefore, I mean, it is not always immediately we have to take our attention to the pain. Rather, you can simply change the posture and simply manage the pain at that time. And you can, rather than trying to sort of go through it in a very difficult, sort of a tiresome mood, rather than doing it that way, simply you can change the posture, again come back to a very relaxed, comfortable posture. And again, now you can look at how things are happening, how probably the mind is reacting, how probably the different thoughts are happening in the mind. So therefore, approach to the pain has different possibilities. One is to go through it, enjoy it, observe it. And the other one is to simply take other alternatives rather than simply enduring it. But on the other hand, I mean, if one has fairly developed mindfulness and if he able to maintain his attention even to the mind more than the body and the pains and all these things, then actually there's a very good, beautiful path available in that side. You don't need to come back to the pain. If it is your own private question, then that could be the answer.
It's a general question, I guess. For me, I do have like a character trait where, this is the disturbance. This is what makes me want to get up and go. Like, it's not thoughts or sounds or other distractions. That's what it is for me.
Actually, that's why we have to slowly start doing mindfulness. So if you immediately tell, okay, mindfulness is important, I have to sit for 2 hours, I have to walk for 2 hours, then it's very difficult. Because you may have a lot of effort, but the body is not ready. the sitting posture is not a if you are sitting cross-legged, that may not be easy posture for many people. So you have to slowly train the body to be in that posture. Maybe within 10 minutes, the body may start giving a lot of pain. So next day, you may simply go through it again 10 minutes. But after a week, probably you can comfortably sit for 10 minutes in the cross-legged posture. But after 15 minutes, again, a lot of pain. Now you are going for 15 minutes. So slowly you are stretching. So now you can comfortably sit cross-legged for 15 minutes. Then after that, you may be going for a walking, again, some stretching exercises or whatever it is. So likewise, you have to balance it. And then later, after say 8 weeks, now you can comfortably sit cross-legged for 20 minutes. So it's very much like seasoning the body. Because at the beginning, sitting cross-legged is not an easy posture. But as you develop, as you sit cross-legged, longer and longer, your body starts to recognize it. Body starts to be sort of strengthened into that posture, used to that posture. Then it becomes a kind of a very comfortable, easy posture. So therefore, don't try to crunch your teeth and sit for many hours like that. Then it will be a burden, could be a disaster, and you might have to go for a physiotherapy on the next day if you do like that. Instead of that, slowly introduce. Slowly, I mean, habituate the body to sit cross-legged. And if you are in an age, say 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, you can actually try this sitting posture. You don't need to go for a very comfortable chair and do meditation. Because then easily you might fall asleep. That is because it is that too comfortable. You can simply cross-leg and sit doesn't matter, it may be 10 minutes. You are practicing only 10 minutes like that for 1 week. Then slowly you can increase that 10 minutes to 15 minutes after 1 week. Then you will understand, okay, I was able to handle it only for 10 minutes. Now I can go for 15 minutes without any problem. So likewise, you can stretch the period. You can increase the period. And slowly, slowly, you can comfortably sit 1 hour cross-legged. And that is possible. So therefore, don't think that immediately by seeing some experienced yogis sitting for hours very beautifully like a statue on cross-leg posture. So I also can be do like that immediately. You can't. So you don't need to go like that. Rather start from where you are.
Thank you, Bhante. So we've probably come to the very end. We have a couple of minutes left, so I might hand back to Aruna if he wants to wrap up. If anyone else has any other questions or comments, please drop us an email or put a comment in or let us know later for some feedback.
If someone can give some feedback or probably what you experienced today at the beginning, we had some little sitting session. So if someone can give sort of feedback, how you felt that or what was your experience or something like that, I think we can share that with the group. Any volunteer?
Yeah, I think it's very good, I think, because all this, in terms of all this theory that we get, I think it's very good that if we can actually apply it in practice and see how it, how the benefits you get after you apply it in practice. So I think having the practical aspect is, it's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Buddha. And Bhante, if you can take a couple of minutes to give some guidance on how we practice mindfulness in day-to-day activities like brushing teeth or eating or bathing or washing hands or something like that. So we always do that. So if you can elaborate something on that aspect as well, Bhante.
Yeah. Since because of the coronavirus, so we can do the washing hands mindfully.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, pretty much.
Maybe, safe example now, suppose how we do right now. Maybe you are blaming to coronavirus, all these lockdowns, all to the government, and then you take the sanitizer without being mindful, you put some liquid to your hand. You are thinking about what I am going to do. I am imagining about how you are drive. So this is completely unmindful. So this is the typical way how we wash our hands. Or if you go to a tap and open it and apply some soap and you wash it, maybe you may be looking at your own image available on the mirror. Because typically in your bathroom, at your wash basin, there may be a mirror in front, you may be looking at it, but not being mindful of how you are washing your hand. But how mindfully wash our hands typically involve with coming totally to that activity. Say, for example, you are going there. Now you can see see some soap. You can see the tap. Maybe it is closed.
But I tell you.
Things you are experiencing, you are noticing. Suppose now you are bringing your arm or say your right arm to the tap, you are opening the tap. Now you can understand, you can see the water is pouring. Now slowly you are taking your hands under the water. Now fair amount of water being touching the hands. Now you can feel the wetness. You can feel the coolness of water. Now these are experiential. It is not imagining. So you are experiencing how water is felt. Now the hands are being completely soaked in water. Completely now get wet with water. Now suppose you get an idea, okay, now it is enough. I need to apply some soap. now you are taking the soap, your hand may be moving towards the soap. Now you are bringing soap to the other hand. Now you are slowly, slowly wiping it, slowly, slowly touching it. Now the form being prepared. Now the whole form gets spread out in the whole hands, maybe into this present day coronavirus because situation. Now you have to thoroughly wash your hand, each finger by finger, whole palms, even the outside, inside, all these things. Now you are mindfully, each and every sensation you can feel, how each finger being felt, how you are touching, one hand being touched by the other hand being touched by the previous hand, how the form being prepared or created, completely covering the whole hand. Now you suppose you are satisfied, okay? Now everywhere the form is created, the whole two hands are well covered by form, the soap. Now you feel it is enough. Now you keep the soap on the container, and now you take your hands under the water. Now again, you can feel the coolness of water. You can feel the wetness of water. Now slowly this form is removed. Now the skin come out. Skin, now you can, you can see the skin. Now the form is removed. The hands are now fairly clean, fairly pure. You can see the cleaned hands. Now the whole form now is removed. Now you are one hand by the other hand. Now you are slowly washing. And you can understand now the whole soap is removed from your hands. Now you understand, okay, that is enough. Now you are again closing the tap or taking a towel, and then again you are wiping your hands. And then now the hands become dry. Now this whole experience, rather than doing unmindful, you can do it very beautifully mindfully. Because this is a very simple activity. That's why I mentioned all these are very simple activities that we rush to do. So we are imagining of something and neglecting the present moment. Because this is a kind of a mundane activity. So washing hands is not the very attractive activity. So we are doing it like a routine. We are doing it like a robot. We are doing it like a driven mode. But rather than doing that, simply we can be mindful each and every moment, each and every movement, and each and every experience we can be mindful. Then it becomes a beautiful activity. Then it becomes a very interesting activity. Then you like to wash your hand. Probably you might like to wash again because it is so interesting. So likewise, so this mundane activities becomes interesting. More and more you do it mindfully. At the beginning, it appears like boring, but slowly, slowly, more and more you start to appreciate it. More and more your mind starts to stay with you. Experience. Stay with the present experience. More and more some mental sort of contribution is there. So the mind is fully involved there. Then the simple activity becomes a beautiful activity. That is where actually the mindfulness meditation, say related to the breath meditation, becomes very sort of beautiful. At the beginning, say when you are paying attention to in breath, out breath, it appears extremely boring. But there are stages, each and every breath becomes bringing you a lot of joy, bringing you a lot of pleasure. So that kind of a possibility, that kind of a potential is there in this kind of practice. So don't think such pleasure, such happiness is available immediately, but more and more you start to live in the present moment. More and more you start to appreciate this simplicity. More and more you start to plunge into this kind of happiness. You start to harness the benefit of this practice. Therefore, Aruna, so you can be mindful about washing hands. As he suggested, you can be mindful about brushing your teeth. So likewise, there are many activities where you can't omit any. All the activities, all the day-to-day activities can be utilized to develop mindfulness. So that is the skill of the yogi. It's not that you always have to sit and walk and develop mindfulness. Rather that all daily activities, day-to-day activities can be utilized to develop mindfulness. So that becomes actually your domain. That becomes your area. How to utilize all these activities. Don't think that you always have to be mindful only in sitting. You always have to come back to your cushion to be mindful. It is not. That may be the area that you are sort of fine-tuning, going deeper. But on the other hand, while you are driving your vehicle, you can be mindful. While you are, say, preparing your food, you can be mindful. While you are brushing the teeth, you can be mindful. While you are washing the dishes, you can be mindful. While you are sweeping your garden, you can be mindful. So all these activities can be incorporated to develop mindfulness. So it becomes the way of living later, because there is no any activity that you can think or you can discard thinking that this activity is not possible to develop mindfulness. Instead of that, all the activities are there for us to develop mindfulness. It is that we not utilizing them. They have such a power, such a potential to develop mindfulness, but unfortunately we are not utilizing them. The possibility is there.
We have a question.
Yeah.
Bante, would you be having this session available on the website for of those, especially there are a few young mothers who can't listen at this time due to their commitments with babies. Is it possible to listen to this talk on the website later?
Yeah, actually,
maybe
at the moment, I think Suranga or Chamila may be recording it. So if you are sort of sending it to me, I can upload it to the website. So it depends. What is the plan, Chamila?
Suranga,
yes.
Yeah, I can answer that, Bante. We are recording the session and it's audio. We won't be recording the video session. So the audio file can be uploaded to anywhere. More or less, we will send it to the monastery website as well. And then we'll keep it in a shared drive so that all the participants can access and then use it for a later usage. That can be done, already being done.
How can people access it, Suranga?
We'll send it with the invitation next time, or we'll send an acknowledgement to everybody who participated to their email address with the link.
Thank you very much.
On the other hand, Suranga, now in the English section, we can prepare a small sort of a group, rather a series in the Nisarvane website. And there we can upload it. So if anyone wants, they can download it.
That's a good idea, Bante. That's a good idea, because then anyone can benefit.
Yeah, I agree as well. So that's possible, Bante. We'll send the audio file immediately today, so we can upload it by tomorrow.
That is also possible. Actually, if possible, you can, I mean, there may be some interruptions and all these things available in the unedited file. If Chamila or you can do little editing so that before the uploading, that would be much better.
Okay, Bante.
Yeah. Then you can send it to me. Then we can upload it to website.
Thank you.
So if there's no more questions or no more comments or anything, I think we can conclude the session for today. Is that okay, Surangaya or Badra Aunty? Is there anything?
Yeah, I think we can conclude the session. Badra Aunty, you want to add anything?
There's actually a question on the chat whether we release a new Zoom link. I think we set up this one as a recurring. event, so we can everybody can use this same link to connect next week as well. Okay,
so I think now it's time for us to conclude. I think we are sitting in front of your dinner maybe, because it's 8:11 for the people who are in Australia. So thank you very much, Venerable Bante, for your guidance and answers and your valuable time. We all are so fortunate to have you in this session. Thank you very much, all the participants as well. Probably some of you may find it's a bit hard to follow at the beginning, but I'm pretty sure that the effort we all put at the beginning will be well paid off in future, as Bante mentioned. So I hope you all take this opportunity to get maximum benefit out of these sessions and put it into practice, so that mindfulness become part of your life, or part of it becomes a norm, as Bante mentioned. So thank you very much, Badra Auntie again, and Chamilakka, Surangaya, Chatu Malli, for all your hard work to arrange this session. Much merits to everyone. I think we can conclude the session for today, and see you all next week. I think it's over to you, Chamilakka, to end the session.
Teruvan Sarnai.
Teruvan Sarnai.
Teruvan Sarnai. Teruvan Sarnai.